thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
Good morning, everyone. So it's Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do for you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
It's great to be with you here today. I feel I have an affinity of some kind with this church. Back in 1992, in Adelaide, Linda and I and others used to lead these Easter camps in the Adelaide Hills. And Carl Faze was a speaker one of those years, and a friendship began then, which continues to this day. And over the years, we would catch up with each other. Carl's even been to Adelaide with his road bike, and I've taken him through some of my roads through the Adelaide Hills. And on some of those occasions, we had talked about Mark, but I didn't meet Mark until 2015, when he came to the same gathering that I had been going to. And the interesting thing was that we immediately had an affinity with one another. And so each year we kind of hang out together, and a friendship is struck out of that. So there is this kind of connection that I feel, at least, that I have with you today. In our reading this morning, I do want to focus on a couple of verses in relation to the narrow and the wide gates. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." A Columbia researcher by the name of Sheena Iyengar found that the average person makes about 70 decisions every day. That adds up to about 25,000 decisions each year, and over a 70-year lifespan, that's 1,788,000 decisions. But folks, there is one decision that's more important than them all, and that is what you will do with the person of Jesus Christ. How will you respond to him? In these just a couple of short verses, and what we find with Jesus over and over again is that he says things and does things that are radical, revolutionary, confrontational. You know, there's an old song that we used to sing about Jesus being gentle, meek, and mild. But so often he's not. He's not. He's radical. He's in your face. And he says things that are seriously confronting. The kind of things that make your head go back and recoil. Because sometimes he calls us to things that aren't easy and are significantly difficult. In this passage here, Jesus talks about two gates and he talks about two paths. And firstly, he talks about this narrow gate, or this small gate, and this narrow path. The gate is small, the road is narrow, and Jesus advises those who are gathered here in the Sermon on the Mount, a famous passage of teaching that Jesus does from Matthew chapter 5 through the end of chapter 7. And he advises us today, he advises us to take that path, the narrow path, because it is the path that leads to life. And he says, and only a few find it. Now, initially, we might look at that and go, now, wait a minute. Whoa. Surely Jesus would tell us to take the easy path. You know, surely take it easy is a motto of Jesus. Take it easy. He is the bearded hipster. You can see Jesus saying, take it easy, man. But no, he doesn't call us to take it easy. They're words from an Eagles song back in the 1970s. Jesus doesn't ask us to take the easy path. He asks us to go through the small gate and take the narrow path. And I reckon that involves a number of things, just by the fact that it's the narrow path and the small gate, and that it requires commitment. It requires commitment, but not commitment like gym membership commitment. I know that the new year comes and people go, you know, I'll make a New Year's resolution, gym membership. That's what I'll do. I'll take out a gym membership. But if you actually look and do some study around gym membership, there's some very interesting statistics. One is that 80% of people quit going to the gym within 5 months, and that only half of them who go more than 100 times in a 365-day period. So that's about twice a week. But of course, that's exactly what gym owners want. They want the membership. They actually don't want you to attend. They actually expect only 18% of people who buy memberships will use them consistently. In fact, their whole business model is based on the fact that only a fifth of people who have memberships actually turn up. Because what they need is 10 times the amount of members over attenders so they can make a profit. Taking the narrow path is not like gym membership. Taking the narrow path is like gym attendance. It's like gym attendance. Only a few are committed. The narrow path also suggests that it's uncompromising, that it is hard and that it is difficult. Now, I mentioned earlier that when Linda and I go on holidays, we normally jump in our four-wheel drive and we drive a long way. We try and get as far away from Adelaide as quickly as possible. And look, you've only got to go 10 minutes from Adelaide and you're already in the bush. I know that it takes 10 minutes to get down a suburban street in Sydney, and we discovered that clearly in the last few days. But we will head, and before you know it, you can actually be on the Birdsville track in about 8 hours from Adelaide, where we like to be, away from it all. And when we travel long distances in our car, I love to listen to audiobooks because it's easy. I'd rather have someone read for me rather than me do the reading myself. But I love stories, adventure stories, so biographies or stories about climbing Mount Everest or climbing K2 or climbing Annapurna, or the story that we listened to on our last holiday is of a young woman who raised camels and decided to walk from Alice Springs to the west coast of Western Australia. Just crazy stuff. I just love all that stuff. It just reminds me of pastoring my church. You know, the narrow path is uncompromising. It's about not giving up. And so often we want to whinge and complain about all kinds of things all the time. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's too high. It's too low. It's too fast. It's too slow. There's too many idiots. Or it's not fun enough. The narrow path is uncompromising. It requires commitment. It is uncompromising and it is costly. To be on the narrow path suggests that at times it is lonely and it is steep. I mentioned earlier about endurance cycling, and in 2015, 16 and 17, on three occasions, that's how incredibly stupid I am, I undertook this really difficult endurance event called Peaks Challenge. And it starts at Falls Creek and ends at Falls Creek. The problem with the starting and ending is that you've got to actually do 235 kilometres and climbed 4,500 metres, which is about halfway up Everest, over three mountains at Toowoonga and Mount Hotham, and then back up the back of Falls. It is seriously difficult. Some of it is easy, because you can get in a bunch and hide behind the people at the front. And for those of you who have maybe cycled in a bunch, the actual science is that once you're behind the first few, you can save 30 to 40% of the energy. And of course, going downhill is fantastic. There's that thing called gravity that sends you down. But I tell you, the narrow path at times is like climbing. And when you're a cyclist, you know that you climb alone. You climb alone, and sometimes it is lonely and it is steep. And hence, only a few people find it. This has been my experience of times, that it is lonely and steep. I mentioned earlier that I've been the chaplain at the Port Adelaide Football Club for 23 seasons. And at times it is lonely and it is steep, when you feel clearly irrelevant, when no one's really interested in what you're about, and it sometimes feels lonely and steep, and hence only a few find it. Many human beings don't like committed. They don't like uncompromising. They don't like costly. And a lot of what makes the world go round, in fact, the whole economy, particularly in Western societies, is about ease and comfort and simplification. You think about the whole medical world. It's about making life easier, simpler, more comfortable. The pharmaceutical industry, which is billions and billions of dollars, is about comfort, ease, simplification. Cars now. Cars. I am old enough to remember when I actually had to open a car with a key. I used to have to, air conditioning was winding the window down, for the young people, winding a window down. I had a car that was so bad that when it rained, I needed a towel on the dashboard to mop up the water. But today, I would not buy a car that didn't have an electronic unlocking door, air conditioning, push-button windows, rear vision camera, beepers for when I reverse and I'm about to bang into that Mercedes-Benz. Everything, even the whole car world, is about making life more comfortable. I haven't got to the point of heated seats yet, but that's coming. Simplification. Everything is about these things, and that's what we want, more of that. That's how much of our economy runs. The narrow path requires commitment. It's uncompromising. It is costly. But thankfully also, it's Christ-centered and Christ-empowered. This is the good news. This is the good news, is that Jesus promises that he will give you everything that you need. In some of these books that I've had read to me, one of the things that some mountaineers love to do is they love to do things unassisted and unsupported. You know, there's actually a thing about climbing the world's tallest mountains where you go into the death zone without bottled oxygen. It's like a badge of honor that you got there without any kind of other help. When you take the narrow path, the really important thing to know is that you will be given power, you'll be equipped and empowered for that journey. Unassisted and unsupported is not the case. But entering through the narrow gate should not make you narrow-minded. And nor should you be shocked if people take the wide road. Nor you should be shocked. I know for those of you who are deep sitting in this congregation this morning, who are evangelists, and so often you are disappointed, depressed even. Unfortunately, there are those who will take the wide road. Jesus says many will take the wide road. I think that is something that we need to understand as a reality. It shouldn't discourage us from our efforts, from our prayers, for our communicating the gospel in word and deed. But there is a reality here that Jesus says that many will take that wide road, the wide gate and the broad road. But Jesus says that that leads to one place, destruction. When I was a 12-year-old boy, AC/DC released an album, Highway to Hell. All my cool mates had that album. It was an album really about destruction. Jesus gives you a choice, gives me a choice, gives you a choice. A narrow gate and a narrow road that leads to life. And are we to take the narrow path or to take the broad band? And we know what broadband does, it falls out. See, the New Testament is pretty clear about decisions and choices. You will either confess him or deny him. You will either trust him as Lord or turn from him. You will either accept him or reject him. You must decide whether to believe he is the way, the truth, and the life, or if you attempt to make your own way to heaven or some other way. But I can assure you, based on the authority of the Word of God, which isn't always that popular, is that there is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other name given to heaven, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, by which humans can be saved. There is no other way. In the Proverbs, in the Old Testament, it says there is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it leads to the way of death. And many people try across our world to gain acceptance with God based on their good works. But in Ephesians, we've heard the prayer from Ephesians this morning, but in chapter 2 it says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one should boast." And others try to do the duty, the religion thing, the ritual thing, the attending this, the doing that thing. But Jesus says very clearly to Nicodemus that unless a person is born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. See, in Jesus' sermon, along with these clear instructions, this clear choice, that he warns of deceit, of false prophets, of being lured on the wide road that leads to destruction. Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. When you look at a passage like that, don't then go and Google false prophets looking for a particular teacher. Forget that. Just think about the messages that are sent to you, bombarded to you all the time. Whether it's through friends and relatives, whether it's through the media, philosophies of this world, the things that are always saying to you, this will bring you contentment, this will bring you fulfillment, this will bring you satisfaction. This is what life is about. This is the wide road. Be careful of being deceived. Look for the wolves in sheep's clothing and look carefully at the fruit. Because sometimes you've actually got to take a second look. And unfortunately, every now and again, it's not until you bite into the fruit that you realize that it's not what it appears. Sometimes the fruit takes a little time to bear. And sometimes it's not all what it appears. You know, the big super chain, big supermarket chains have got us all over us. You know, we'll often buy apples or tomatoes that were actually picked a fair while ago, putting in big fridges. And of course, you know, when you they look fantastic. You know, they've been nicely polished. They've been given the nice spray. And you'll take a bite into that apple and it wasn't what it appeared. Or you'll cut up that tomato, it even still looks good, and when you go to eat it, it doesn't taste anything like a tomato. In fact, it doesn't taste like anything. It's as dull and as boring as you could think, but it looks amazing on the outside. Unfortunately, sometimes you've taken a bite before you know, but that's why you need to look carefully and hear the right messages. There's an old story when I was a kid. I think it was an old story when my parents were kids called Snow White. It's one of those fantastic Disney stories. And of course, Snow White was allured by a piece of fruit, the perfect looking piece of fruit, but in the end, it was poison. And so there are so many things that deceive us, the messages of the world, the reality that the evil one wants to have you off that narrow path. And then, of course, there is ourselves. You know, in the NIV version of the Bible, it uses a phrase, the sinful nature. For those of you who are older, who've used older versions, there was this phrase called the flesh. The flesh. It's our own sinful desire, our own need to be satisfied and fulfilled with things that aren't good for us and aren't Christ. These are the things we can be so foolish that we can be lured into the wrong things. And so discernment is required. We need to discern. In James it says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. In Proverbs we read that plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Pastors love people in church. We love people in church. And despite sometimes people may think it's about attendance numbers and attendance figures, it's actually not about that. By coming to church, you actually come and you gather with other people on the narrow path. And you sit with and stand with and journey with other people who also suffer the same temptations for the wide road. And that's why gathering together is all important. It's not about the ritual. It's not about the ceremony. It's not about the attendance number. It's actually good for your health to gather together. It's good for your health to be reminded about what's important. It's good for your health to understand that the narrow path is the right path. And you either can be readjusted or reminded that the narrow path is the right path, no matter how lonely, no matter how steep, no matter how difficult. But you also come to encourage others to be on the same path. Because it's also not all about you. It's about what you can give to others who are also tempted to take the wide road. But the choice is yours. The choice is yours. Jesus says there's a narrow path and there's a wide road. Which one are you going to take? The choice is actually completely clear. Completely. There is only one path to take because it's the one that leads to life. That's the one you must take. But unfortunately, not all of us will. But I would urge you today to be on that path. And I would urge you to understand and be reminded that there are those sitting next to you this morning or a few seats over or who are in the previous service or in the next one this evening, that they will take that journey with you so that it's not always lonely and it's not always steep. and it's not always difficult. And that Christ will be with you every step of the way, and that there will be others who will walk that with you. Seventy decisions a day, one with eternal consequences. My prayer is that you will take the right path. Let us pray. We sit here together, our God, but we hear the words of your Son, Jesus. And for some today, they need courage to take that narrow path. Some for the first time, and maybe others got on that freeway, heading in the wrong direction. By your Spirit, we ask that you might direct that person, those people, back on the narrow path. And yes, that narrow path's more like a mountain trail. And there'll be dangers, toils and snares on that path. Give those people the courage to take that path. And we ask also that you'll provide others to help them up, to spur them on, to carry them at times. And that you also help others of us to be that person to someone else. Because it's all important. Both for today and tomorrow, but for all eternity. Apply these words to each and every heart today, we ask in Jesus' name.